Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about who are the guides along your spiritual path, your human existence, or even your soul journey. Who are they? Gurus? Guides? These people that say, drop into the template, you can rise up above. How about the others that are saying, I'd like to just go out and play in the field and lose all of this sort of tether lines that I've created over my lifetime. Or I'd like to connect to the animals, perhaps the plants, the flowers. How about children? Many times we say we are now feeling like we are guided to something. We take it along, all of its experiences. We jump into it. We walk like a duck, quack like a duck, feel like a duck, eat duck, and smell duck. We might even dress like a duck. I've had one author that did that. And what was really important about it was is that you were able to feel the emotions, the feelings, the entity and the energy of something other than yourself for a moment. You're able to see if in my human existence I'm not feeling very well, don't feel very strong, but I think I'm going to be a lion today. And you feel, you venture into the experience of that lion. Don't you bring in the strength into your own being? That's what we'll really be talking about today, is what are all the existences and experiences of our soul, our energy source, and our human time in this lifetime. Today my guest is Lucinda Bacon-White. Her book is Confessions of a Bone Woman, Realizing Authentic Wellness in a Civilized World. Lucinda, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Lucinda, that we say, who are our guides? And many times people will shell out almost their life sources to be able to find someone to tell them what to do to get them going, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And all the answers are usually right inside of us if we connect to our soul and our authentic essence. And the outer guides can help give us little clues on the lighted path,
right.
But at the end of the day, we're our own authority.
Right. I think the idea of template, you know, we just want to kick that word to the curb. I sincerely hope it's finally going to see its later days, because when we look at template, we say we need someone or something to fit into the template, just as quantum physics, so that we're able to see it in a perspective and validate its presence. Whoa, lots of words. What that means is if I see it, it's pleasing or it's calling me, then I can go to it because it must be important. So many times people say, I'm having a challenge, I'm having this or that or the other go on in my life, and they either jump into it full force and experience it, turn around and run away from it, or totally jump off the end and say, I'm going to deny its ever presence. Don't you think?
Yes, I do think that. As spiritual beings that are eternal, that we come down to the human plane for a temporary experience, and we have two goals, one, to learn something and grow and evolve, and also to understand what our inherent gifts are so that we can share them with the world and leave it a better place than when we were born. But sometimes we forget that, and we get too attached to the template and the human self and things that are outside of us that glitter like gold. And then we forget to be present with what's inside of us, or the spirit that runs through all things, because that's invisible. It's not so tangible.
And you know what I really noticed recently, Lucinda, was that a lot of people said, but I'm not on my spiritual path. I'm on a different path. And I looked at them and I said, yes, you are. I saw one person, she was truly learning about the perfection of body. She's finding every way that she can be able to keep herself young, healthy, and know how the body ticks at every moment. Another person said, I'm going to learn how to take a job, and I'm going to have all kinds of challenges because that's what this lifetime's about. That's fantastic. In another lifetime, they may have never had a challenge. So I think sometimes when we look at people, we say, is everybody on the same path going up? Or is everybody on an individual path and it's all like a web?
Yes, I believe everybody's on an individual path, and that's why it's so important not to judge another person's path or say someone's doing something right or wrong, because we don't know what their lesson is that their soul wants to learn, or how many lifetimes they've actually had to develop, or what the lesson is they want to learn. And we have so many bodies to develop. There's the intellectual, maybe a scientist. His goal is to develop his mind and invent something
right.
new. Or, like you said, the woman you're talking about who was developing her physical body. The more we do that, the more we're able to go deep and dial into all these bodies, and eventually we're going to pull it all together.
Mm-hmm. I almost see it at the end versus pulling it all together. We pull it all together for just a split second, and then all of a sudden it goes poof, and then we're released from it. I mean, I've had that dream so many times, and I can just see it. And I've used that word so many times, poof, P-O-O-F, you know. We just go poof, and it's because then all of that no longer, it's you sort of like you catch it in your catch it in your mind's eye for just 1 second. All of a sudden you say, oh, is that it? And then all of a sudden it says, you are it. It isn't all of that. So I think sometimes when we say, do we fear not being on the right track? So I think when you look at your story in Confessions of a Bone Woman, many times people will say, well, your journey was with spirit animals. So was it a shaman journey? Was it something that you maybe had another lifetime? Was it something you're now recreating in this lifetime? Or is it something that you just were looking for a connection and these things showed up?
I actually think it's all of the above, because when I started collecting animal bones, I was not spending a lot of time in nature. So it was it was very unusual, and the first animal bone that I touched was a buffalo bone from an ancient gravesite maybe 10,000 years ago. And
right.
there was electricity that went through my body when I touched that bone. There was an awakening. And so that I realized in retrospect that after that, when I did start spending more time in nature, I kept finding animal bones. And I was so compelled from the inside and fascinated and curious about these bones that I would just sit down and spend time with them 100% present. Wow, what animal did this bone belong to? What part
right.
of the body is this? How did the animal die? And I realized 20 years later in retrospect, after collecting bones for 20 years, that I was connected. I was 100% present. All of my energy was in that exact moment. I wasn't thinking past or present. And that was a high vibration energy that healed me from a lot of things that were going on in my life, and I didn't even realize it. I was 100% compelled to do something without thinking about what other people would think or whether I was going to make money or whether it was productive.
Right. And I think it's so interesting too. Many times when I've noticed for a few times I've spoken with people, they have said that my life was in disarray. My life was confusing. My life had too much, and I had to set it to the side. And then they start connecting to the other part of the paradigm, to disease prevention, to end-of-life support for working with angels into the spirit world. In other words, they took it to one end of the outliers all the way over to the other. And I think that's great, because what that does is it really shows us the entire paradigm circle and cycle, and being able to say, how do these things fit in? How do they show up in my life along that paradigm? Yes?
Yes, and that speaks to this idea of how we are individual and authentic and learning. And you talked at the beginning of the show about immersing into an experience and feeling it, and that's how we learn. So if you're on one end of the paradigm, then the pendulum, you know, you get out of balance. So then the pendulum swings to the other end of the paradigm. And in both ends of the spectrum, you are immersing and learning something that eventually you can bring it to center with all of it in balance, because that's really the key to healing and health is balance, and that's the portal where human life and spiritual life intersect.
It's interesting, in your book, Confessions of a Bone Woman, just on page 3, you wrote, I no longer felt lonely, and I wrote on the top, soul connections. So for every bone that you touched, you were not communicating with humans as an existence, you were communicating with souls through every bone that you collected. And I think right there, what ends up happening is you then have a life of spiritual connection with all of these souls. You can almost talk to them and feel them and smell them and sense them. And truly, that's another part of our existence, yes?
That's exactly what happened to me, because at that point in life, I was very, very out of balance on that spectrum, focused on manifesting material fame and fortune and beauty and all the things that society had told me would make me happy. And
right.
So when I connected with bones, I later realized that because we're human beings having a temporary experience at the end of this lifetime, our body will decompose, but the soul goes back up to the spiritual plane for another and for a life review, and it'll come back again through reincarnation for another life. But the bones will remain, and if you think of dinosaurs in a museum, so the bones are symbolic of the spirit, the essence that never dies, that innermost essence of who we are as humans. So I believe that the soul speaks in symbols, and so the bone is symbolic, and it was speaking to my soul, and it was connecting me to the animals, and animals are authentic. Animals don't. Like a wolf would never act like a squirrel. So connecting to the animals helped me connect to my inner essence, my authenticity, and the spiritual realm.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
You know, I think it was interesting in your book, we talk about cycles, you know, so far, and about things going around full circle. And in the beginning of the book, you were kind of feeling disconnected and you really wanted to get out in nature, but you weren't. But then at the end of the book, you speak about your husband when he had gone to jail, and I wrote on the top of the page, caged. So you felt caged in the beginning of your book and you felt caged at the end of your book, but you learned how to exist outside of that.
Yes, that's been a common theme in my life, and I think it's in the collective as well. That fear of being contained. And so we've been talking a lot about the soul. Well, the soul is the childlike self that is very spontaneous and curious and wild and playful. It wants to move. Versus the human nature is our facade, and we have this image of how we want to come across because we want to fit in. And they're both good. All is good until it's out of balance. So, yes, I was, first of all, trapped in the template for how to succeed, which would make me fit in and feel lovable. And it was very confining for me to have to go on diets and be skinny and look good and get a master's in business and work for IBM and drive a Porsche. And yet, I felt lonely, as you suggest. Mm-hmm. But when I was able to connect to the spiritual realm, the invisible essence, the bones, the animals, the trees, that, you're mm-hmm. right, that helped me connect with who I was on the inside, and I realized I was lonely for myself all along.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a deep connection to the higher vibration of love, the invisible essence, the spiritual realm, my authenticity. And so that's, you talk about the cage. There were so many metaphors in my life. I was trapped in the cookie cutter formula for success. I was trapped in my human nature. I couldn't move. I was caged in my mind by my thoughts. I was worried what other people would think about me. So I was constantly analyzing that thing, that theme of being a wild animal trapped in a cage. It's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, too? Haven't you heard so many times people will say, oh, well, like let's use boyfriends or husbands. They say, oh, well, you're on your third one. You didn't learn your lesson yet, you know. And I kind of say, no, I learned something from each one, you know, as we would with friends, with experiences, or with places we've lived or jobs we've done. We have learned something from each one, even though they, on the cover, they may have looked similar. And you spoke in your book about depression, you know, about the first one, human nature, the second one, spiritual nature, and the third about energy. And it's truly, that is what sometimes it looks like a human experience is so common along the outside picture, but it really has so much more going on for it if you're able to dance with it, yes?
Yes, because life and lessons are circular. They're not linear. And life is meant to be full of joy, but part of the life experience is also sorrow. So we are meant to experience and feel all of that and make sense of it. And usually when we struggle or have a difficult time or feel pain or we're wounded, that's where we have the potential for the most growth. If we're always perfect and things are going well, we really don't know anything. So it's life is about experiencing all of it, immersing, and then feeling that pain. And what it does is, number one, it gives you compassion for the rest of the world because you felt something. You know how it feels. So now you know how another person feels, and that's a form of connection. And if you can pull through it and find the wisdom that you gathered, grieve the pain or what you lost, but pull forward the wisdom and gratitude for the lesson, then you can share that wisdom with other people who suffer from the same thing. And you've made sense of life. There's deeper meaning, and you're helping and making a difference.
You speak in your book about a lot of large animals, about buffalo and wolves and deer, and I think that's important to be able to say, did they feel like they were larger than life? Did it feel as though they were stronger and more important in the animal kingdom? And was that the parts of them that you were wishing to engage with versus, you know, a lot of times people will say, I want to be as light as a hummingbird. I want to be as transitional as a cicada. I want to feel like a spider. Those animals are all ones that they speak loudly in the animal kingdom. They show larger. They are larger. People gravitate towards them for their power, for their energy source, for their longevity, all of these markers, you know, mm-hmm. versus thinking about maybe a cicada that you would pass by, you'd never notice, or a hummingbird, you know what I mean? Those two are so transitional and so fleeting that you were looking for a long-lasting thing. All those are long-lasting connections.
Yes, and, you know, it's like life, and it's like our evolutionary path as individuals. It's all valid, and it's all an experience, and it's all parts of ourselves. So sometimes when we're doing something, we're out of balance, or we need something, or we have the mm-hmm. wrong intention. And sometimes it's the exact medicine we need. So, for example, with the tangible, powerful animals, sometimes maybe you've lived a really shy, quiet life where you don't have a lot of personal power, so you want to engage with the power of a lion and connect with that power inside of you. But then there might be another person who's really out of balance in power and ego, and they want to connect with that lion because they want to conquer the world. So there are different reasons, but yes, in general, a lot of people overlook the so-called pests in life or the creepy animals, like, ooh, I don't want to look at a snake, or what significance does a cicada have? Just like people, every single thing has meaning and power, and it's all about diversity and balance and intention and timing. So, yeah, it causes us to constantly be present, thinking about what's going on right now and what does this person, this tree, this animal mean to me?
You know, I have probably about several hundred thousand of photos, because I go out every day and I click several photos of whatever I see. It could be, I could click pictures of salamanders every single day for 4 or 5 years. I can put them together, never the same. I can click pictures of the sun, same experience. So whatever I see when I go out the door usually shows up as something to be able to connect with for that day. I'll click pictures of the clouds, come inside and look at them, and I'll say, oh, look at that face, and say hello to the person or the image that's in the clouds. Or I live in New Orleans. We have cicadas all the time, and I'll say, it's not about transformation, it's transfiguration. Got it, cicada. Thanks for the message. Or I've been watching trees, and I have a large oak tree here by me, and I said, oh, you're really getting heavy and tired, and I notice you're starting to split. So I can feel it's imminent that it's going to be cut down because it's just too heavy. It's at the end of its cycle. And I think when we see this in life, we say, oh, you know, so many times people will say, I don't know what you're talking about. Someone would say to me, they'd say, just say, yeah, so what are you going to do with the information? Why is that important? And I think when you and I talk about these stories that we've had, it's because it's something about our soul and our heart that's so much more important than all this outside validation. Don't you think?
Yes, I do think that, and I hear that often too. So many things are coming up to me when you were saying that. I mean, the first thing is, nothing is ever the same. If you look in nature, the only thing constant is change. And yet as humans, we strive for this linear idea of where we should go and how we should think, act, and behave. And we want to seek perfection and then hold on to it so tight as if that makes us successful and lovable. And yet if we can connect to the spirals and the cycles and the transformation and the wheel of life, death, and rebirth that we see around us with the moon and the seasons, then we're constantly renewing and refreshing. And and it is enlivening to know that there is an invisible realm. And again, it's about balance. I know plenty of people who are always connected to the spiritual realm, and they're very airy, and they're not grounded in the earth plane. I mean, we do come down for a human experience. We just need to remember both parts of ourselves and strive to keep them in balance. So it is important to recognize the invisible essence around us, that the tree and the animals and the clouds, there's a spirit and an energy that's communicating with us. And when we do things like you do, like take a picture and notice that things are changing and look for the messages and listen, we're basically present with the moment and having a dialogue with that invisible realm that's all around us. What I like about that is the spiritual plane, our soul, which is connected to the spiritual thing that's invisible, is a higher vibration of love because there's no form. It's the human essence that is form, and it's more dense, invisible. And so by nature, when we connect to that invisible essence, it's a higher vibration of love. And so it's healing, and it's connective. And that's why it's so empowering to have those. That's why it is important to connect with the invisible realm. It's how it's helpful.
You know, what I think is so interesting also in your book is you spoke about wings. And when I think wings and bones, and when I think of that, I think of bones is the earth essence and wings is a spiritual essence. So really, you needed to absolutely learn how to fly because you felt weighted down. And then you turned around, you connected to the down part, which was the bones of the animals that were left, but you also started to explore about wings. And I think it's so important. You know, it's so funny because I can't remember. It's probably, oh my goodness, I'm in my 60s now, and I think it was probably about maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And I looked at my arms one day, and I said, oh, my gosh, my arms, why are they, like, flapping like that? And, you know, normally people, my kids would say, oh, my gosh, you're just too fat. You need to go to exercise. I says, no, I'm so excited. My angel wings have finally sprouted. And they're like, what? And I think sometimes when we have a connection of lightness that we could see in our human existence, it makes our journey have so much more meaning. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, if you start thinking, oh, I need to go do this because I don't fit in, or something's, quote, wrong with me or wrong with the process, versus saying I'm so excited because that's exactly what I've been feeling and now it's shown up in my existence. Don't you think that process is a cycle of really, when you can start feeling that cycle, you start craving it. You want to keep exploring more.
Yes, it's like a spiral or peeling back the layers of the onion. You just want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And to me, that's true intimacy, and it's enlivening, and it does slay loneliness. I do agree with you. And it's like it's a perspective shift. You know, instead of seeing your arms, and
right,
I need to go to the gym, you chose and you have that power to see it as something deeper and more
right,
affirmative of where you are in your path.
And I think when you talked about the bones and the wings, that's also, too, being able to say, how do I connect with them and how do I feel their essence energy, right?
Yes, because I always now try to stop myself when I'm interacting with people or whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And say, is this going to be divisive or connective? So if I judge another person, that's automatically
right,
going to be divisive. Or if I get in an argument with someone, it's not that I want to be perfect and never argue, but I have to stop myself and say, well, what was my real goal here? And what's the outcome going to be? Is it going to be divisive or connective? And so I'm all
right
about deep connection.
Yeah, I think it's many times people say when we are on our spiritual path and really, like when you were really ingrained in being able to connect with all the animals and into the, you know, taking vacations and going on explorations and journeys, do you think that sometimes you had to fall away from the regular human existence and say, I need to take a break for a minute, I'll come back to you, and it's almost like you want to put it on pause? But then you have to learn how to integrate both of those together.
Absolutely. That is so brilliant. It's such an important point because, and it took me, you know, I was my own experience. I had to figure this out on my own. I'm 60,
right,
and so there wasn't, I grew up in high-tech Silicon Valley, there wasn't a lot of conversation and context about this stuff, so I am my own experience, and I can validate for me, and now I share this with people, is that at first, something happened to me, and I felt hurt or angry, and something compelled me to cut off and pull away, whether it was my parents or a friend or a job, and everybody thought I was horrible because, oh, my gosh, where is she going, and she's blaming us, but I
right,
had to pull
right,
away to get perspective because everything's a vibration, and when I'm mm-hmm, with people or a place or a thing or a job that has a certain vibration, it can hold me down, and I'm so influenced by it, I lose myself. So if I can recognize I'm not happy, pull away, somehow connect with who I am and what I want, take the best of that lesson, stop blaming, recognize it as an experience, have vision, you know, distance and perspective, then I have that wisdom, but now it's not just a concept. I have to walk the talk, so I have to track myself and continually see, okay, I want to do this, but I did that. Okay, I'm going to do it a little bit better next time. And you just keep dialing it in and tracking yourself with awareness, and then finally when it sits, I realized that I would go back full circle with the family member or the people that I worked with or a friend or a boyfriend. And then, because I had transformed and seen it in a different perspective, I was able to connect with them and not take it so personally.
In your book, Lucinda, do you think that the animals that you met, were they waiting for you to, did you feel like you were saving them or that they were waiting for you to save them? Or do you think that in essence, you were saving each other?
I think it's a combination. Just like everything we're talking about today, nothing is black and white, cut and dry. Everything is different, but first, I would find just a random bone on a nature walk. And then as I got connected to that, I started noticing roadkill.
Right.
And so I would pick up animals. I would stop and pull them off the road and return them to the soil. And in all of my experiences working with the dead animals and the bones and the roadkill, every situation was different. And number one, it got me 100% in the moment, so I was connected to that high vibration energy that was healing a lot of things that were going on with me physically and emotionally and mentally. I wasn't even aware of it. I was just so enlivened and compelled and happy, immersed in the moment. And then the second thing was, I do realize that the animals were calling me. It was my destiny because it's so unique to me the way I do it. I don't know anyone else who's out there like me. There's lots of people who collect bones, but what I do and what I get out of it is completely different. So they were calling me. It was my pathway to connect to the spiritual realm and the portal of life and death. I learned about transformation through the animals and just working with them intuitively. But also there were a lot of animals who were stuck here. Their
right.
souls were tortured. You know, maybe they were being run over 100 times by the same car in the middle and on the asphalt, and they couldn't naturally and organically decompose.
Right.
So I would pull them over to the side, and then I would get, you know, I would just imagine a rainbow of light and releasing their soul to the other realm and blessing them. So it's a combination of everything, and sometimes they were saving me, and they had a lesson for me, and some medicine for me.
Do you think also, too, in your book, you share about times that you felt maybe disconnected from nature or whatever, and also, you know, about that concept of being caged, also, too, about being able to be in a place in the human existence where you aren't connected to what your soul might want. I always say to people, is it really that you're saying you have to, quote, get out of where you are because you want to get where your soul is, versus saying in the human existence, there's a great purpose here I'm learning. Like, in other words, did the times that you felt caged or felt like you weren't connected to your soul, did all of those experiences have a purpose? Because you may not have felt the word caged. You may have not felt disconnected if you had not been in those circumstances. I think for every time that people say, well, that was the wrong path, and, you know, I kind of had to get back on the path, and truly, part of that, whatever the wrongness that they're judging it as, really is a part essence of how they got to where they are in the next step. Yes?
Absolutely. Everything has meaning. Everything has meaning. When a leaf drops in front of me on a tree, it has meaning. When I get into a fight with my husband, it has meaning. When I get fired from a job, it has meaning. And sometimes I learn quicker than others. And sometimes I don't learn. And then it just keeps the same pattern and theme will keep repeating until I finally say, oh, I get it. This is repeating. It's trying to get my attention. And so I really, really believe that there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good until it's out of balance. And then when it's out of balance, it's a sign, okay, it's time to swing the pendulum in the other direction. And that way we're not judging other people and we're not judging ourselves. We are having an experience, and there's meaning behind it. And we are growing if we pay attention. And also, we all have some inherent gift. So the more we connect with who we are and learn our lessons, the more we can get at what our unique gift is that we're meant to share with the world. And that is so enlivening. So we're able to pull out of the illness and the drudgery to make a difference in the world with something that's unique to us. So everything has meaning, and it's all spiraling. And I like to think of it as just peeling back the layers of an onion and recognizing that's what everybody else is doing as well.
And I think sometimes people say that, I don't know what my purpose is. And I'll say, your purpose at this moment is to be a seeker. Ask questions. Find something. Challenge yourself. Look around. Don't talk. Sit in silence. Go out. Laugh. Do something and see what that is. And that seeker purpose is exactly the mission of what you're supposed to be at the moment. I think sometimes we want to say, what is my legacy? How is my mark in the world going to be? And I have to hurry and do it before end of life. You know, I work a lot with end of life clients and they say, but I didn't leave my mark on the world, you know? I'm not going out as being held up or held out to those who know me. And so many times people are really searching for that, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And it speaks to the spectrum again. And again, intention. So if you're really intent on leaving your mark in the world, or because you want your life to have meaning or to be remembered, then maybe your intention is a little bit egocentric as opposed to, I really compassionately just want to make a difference. And so I am going to seek because it keeps me curious and moving and alive and connected to something. And I'm not really concerned about if I make a lot of money at this or I get a lot of social media likes or if I'm famous for it. I'm just a different vibration because I'm connected. And that is sharing an energy with the world that is going to raise and uplift and influence other people. And that is my purpose and my meaning. So if we are constantly seeking, we're constantly curious, we are connected with our childlike self, which is a higher vibration essence, and that right there can help change the world if everybody does that. And it's enlivening, and it keeps us happy and connected. So I do agree with you on that.
You know, I think if we can just see our time on this earth as a string of existences and experiences, it is so freeing to be able to say there isn't something that has to be checked off on the list or something that has to be dotted before I can get to the next page in the book. And I think once that happens, it frees you up to be able to say you're just, you know, as I've said on my show before, you're winding through the cosmos and just take it as that moment. Because you cannot force, you cannot dictate, you cannot control. And you may have those illusions that you can, but really what you're doing is you're just in the experience. And I think that's really what you're talking about today in your book, is about your experiences and how you connect it with other realms and how you're able to feel energy. And that's really, truly what we're really about, is about being able to see that energy, because that's our soul, correct?
Exactly. And you use the word freedom, which is the exact opposite of feeling caged. So when you feel caged, you're typically trapped in some sort of a construct or your human nature or what authorities outside of you think and what will they think of you, versus being free, which means you're compelled from the inside. You're spontaneously driven and compelled to do something. And that is that invisible essence that is highly connective and keeps you in that childlike energy. It is about immersing, as we said earlier, and just being present with all of your senses. And that's what I do with a lot of people who feel disconnected. Get out of your head, because when we're in our head and thinking, we tend to project on the plane of time in the future,
right?
Where am I going, what I need to do, or the past, oh my gosh, I got in that fight, or I failed this or that, or why did my boyfriend break up with me, as opposed to being connected to this enlivening essence, which really is above time and space. And if you can immerse into everything as an experience with all of your senses and feel the experience, how does it taste, touch, sound, smell? That is enlivening. That's deeply connective. And you will start having epiphanies and awarenesses, and you will feel less lonely, and you will feel more free. And to me, that is the meaning of life on Earth.
And it truly is about being able to say your perspective on the situation. I had a guest probably several years ago, and he would write letters to those who were in jail for life sentences. And they felt in the beginning they were very caged, and they were left to just have this menial existence. However, they started the conversation and they really realized that they have a life, they have a soul, and they are still having experiences, and they were able to come out of that and totally change their perspective. And I think it's truly about whatever you're doing, whatever you're in, wherever you're going, is see the perspective full circle versus just the experience full circle. Because sometimes your perspective may be using a judgment phrase, and that judgment phrase may take you to one side and you might totally miss the rest of it. In other words, you may be in jail, you may be having there for life, however, you still are having an experience, you still have a soul in a lifetime. What is it? What is it all about? Write a story about it. So whatever you're doing, if you're checking in with animals, you're checking in with souls and spirits, dark shadows, the plants on your patio, be able to really connect, and I think that's what we're talking about. So in closing, I think that how can we connect and how can we see or know when we're disconnected is the name of the game, yes?
Oh, that is such a good point, because I talked about, you know, being immersed in the experience and feeling it, but you do need to walk between worlds and get fluid and know where you are at all times. And we talked about the wings as well. If you fly above your situation, you're in jail, and you have somebody who comes in and gets beyond the tangible facade of you did something bad, you're in jail, and could connect with your invisible essence, your soul, that is healing. And then at the same time, fly above your situation and see it from a different perspective. Oh, I did this because of that, and I learned that, and I'm here now, and this is what I feel and what I learned. So you're constantly rooted in the earth plane with the bones, like you said, having experience, and then you fly above it. Okay, what does this really mean? Detach from taking it personally and see the bigger picture, where I came from, where I'm going, why this happened, what did I learn? And that keeps you present with your life and what I call you're an inner tracker, and you know what you're doing and why, and you see life this way, and that you always have a choice, and that you're learning and you're doing your best, and nothing is personal. So I do think that's so important, to walk between worlds, your human self and your spiritual self, and always know where you are and see the bigger picture.
Absolutely. Well, Lucinda, thank you so much for sharing your journey. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, everything is on my website, which is www.authenticwildness.com. That's WILDNESS. I have a book, and you can find out where to buy it on my website, and I have a weekly blog that I publish. So please visit me there. I'd love to hear from you.
Lucinda, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today and have this conversation. So we thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Lucinda Bacon White, again, her book is Confessions of a Bone Woman, Realizing Authentic Wildness in a Civilized World. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. And it truly is about, what is your experience? What is your journey? Do you say, I don't know? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Start clicking some pictures. See what shows up in your existence and say, you know what? I'm going to be a seeker. I'm just going to go along, follow the path, see what shows up, and maybe I'll find something at the end, sit down on the ledge, and be able to have another experience. Yes, it is that easy. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.